Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. We come to your word, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you may just quicken it to our mind and our heart. Lord, we may be able to hear it. Lord, may be able to understand it, may be able to apply it to our life, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. We know this is our stable place to go to come to you, to connect with you, to connect with the truth, to be impacted, Lord, changed, empowered. Everything that we need is there. We just thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Thank you for what you are going to do today. We give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for you are worthy, worthy to be praised. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we have been talking about the training that the Lord does with each one of us. When we are born again, we are enrolled in his school, in his, he was looking after us before too, but then becomes a special thing that he really wants to do with us, because we are going to start to be listening to him in a better way than we were before, because our mind, our understanding, our goals are going to be directed by what he is doing in us and is working in us and is developing in us. Okay. But one important thing for to see really, you know, the impact, especially at the beginning, there is, you know, a walk can be up and down. There are many things that we don't understand. And that's what he's trying to do, try to communicate with us. Try to make us sure that we understand the right thing, you know, without being confused about things, because sometimes, unfortunately, we are, okay? And so, you know, he starts dealing with us, guiding us, directing us, correcting us, doing all those things to just enable us to grow, enable us to develop, to become more and more like he wants us to be. Okay. But the key, really, that we need to understand, the important thing, okay, is that we have to remain engaged in him. Not be distracted by other things. Allowing what he's doing with us to actually, you know, perceiving it and responding to it in the right way. Then we are going to have, you know, experiences and helps that are going to produce results. This is what we should experience: changes, results, growth in him, transformations. Okay, but you know the way it works. Okay, that what happened in the past really is secondary. What is important is for us right now, where we are, to respond to him. Hopefully what happened in the past helps us, but doesn't matter. What counts is what the way we respond to him now. We can see that, for example, in the parable of the vineyard workers. You know, all of them got the same payment, you know, the same wages, but they were all according to the last, what at the last moment was happening. So, you know, what counts, we cannot live on past victories. Past victories are past, and God is the God of now, the God that works in us right now, and we have to respond to him. Not, you know, glory on past victory. We had to get victory today. We had to connect with him today, not think about, oh, you know, this, I had these experiences in the past. That doesn't help you. That makes you stuck instead. We need to be always responding to him because he is continually doing works on us and he's going to do it until we go and meet him, hopefully. And so this is the things that really we have to remember, you know, to what is counting is now. See, Jesus, the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. It's not when we said a prayer to him in the past. That's gone and finished. Hopefully we moved on from there. What counts is what we do now in our relationship with him. And as we remember, you know, the prayer for the Philippians, Paul prayed for them, okay, that they, you know, may be able to approve what was excellent, pure, and blameless. And to do that, they needed knowledge and discernment. Without knowledge and discernment, we cannot be able to understand. We need to be able to actually make that connection with him to be able to do that. When we connect with him, when we approve what is excellent, pure, and blameless, then one of the things is going to happen is that we're going to start manifesting in our life the fruit of righteousness, which is actually are the fruit of the Spirit. That is where we can see where we are at. That's where, you know, we can see God's work in us. Okay? And so we had to learn to look at those things more than anything else. Okay? And those things don't come out by our own efforts, by our own abilities, by what we want to do. Happens by the relationship we have with his Spirit, with him, with the Word, with actually the way we connect with God. That is what produces. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot change ourselves the right way. He is the one. He is our Savior. He is the one that brings about the changes in us that we need. And unless we connect with him, those things are not going to be manifested because what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We may, you know, be keen, we may, you know, be applied, we may make our efforts in our own abilities and get nowhere. Just get more proud than anything else instead of really growing in him. And the fruit of the Spirit certainly is not pride. Okay, so that's where actually, you know, when you start really having fruit of the Spirit, you are going to be humble. It seems almost contradictory, but that's the way it is because, you know, that's the way the truth works. Hallelujah. We had to learn to discern and keep our focus on those things. Okay. And that's why Jesus said to us, you know, says many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Evidently, you know, they were convinced what he mentioned, you know, indicated these people that he's talking about are convinced that they really got it. But what was, you know, this response is, you know, and then I will declare to them, I'll never knew you, depart me from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay, so that's really, if you have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in you, you are not going to practice lawlessness. Okay. And all the other manifestations are completely secondary to the fact that we are actually transformed by him and manifest, you know, the fruit of righteousness, or, you know, the way it's called there, or the gift of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, sorry. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And see some of the final exhortation, okay, on for participating in this process, to be really connected with him, to be actually receiving from him the direction that we need. Okay. So, with, you know, and really to do that, as I just said a minute ago, was the fact that we need to continue and persevere in our training, in our, you know, dealing with him. Because his intention is that to keep ministering to us, keep training us, developing us. Okay. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. So, to be able to actually continue, to be able to continue to grow, to respond, we need to deal with things that within us that may contribute to make us give up, okay, because the training is getting difficult. Okay. I mean, that's the way the Lord works. You know, he just brings you from level to level, and the demand increases. You know, he doesn't expect you, when you are born again, for a week or a month, to be the same as somebody that's been with him for 10 years or 20 years. Okay. He has expectation as to having to do with our growth, our development. Okay. And, you know, if we have been conscientious, we have been applying ourselves to his training, then that change is going to be there. But if we are not, then there's not going to be change, and there are going to be consequences for that. We have to understand that, okay? And we have to understand that the difficulty of our training depends of the type of steps that we have to make. When we are ready for them, then we just keep going. But if we get slack, the problem is that we lose momentum, we lose the ability to actually do things, and we find it more difficult. We find it, you know, more difficult to implement. So we have to understand that the training of the Lord included different things, include instructions, include blessings, and includes corrections. We talked about the blessing a bit last week. Okay. I mean, the meaning, you know, that when God supposed to speak to us, to direct us, okay, did it with the people in the Bible, supposed to do it with us, okay, supposed to, in one way or another, get across to us. Not everybody works the same way, but the point is, still, we should get direction, okay, and start really just giving information, instruction of what to do. If you read the Bible, it's full of instructions. It says, you know, do this, this is what's going to happen. If you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. Okay, so, and those are actually things that are said there that are truth, and they actually are going to be manifested if you follow those directions. Okay. If you do that, you find him, and that's going to be blessing you, because you're going to be receiving the things that you need, helping in the things that you want to do, get understanding, whatever the areas that you need direct, you know, from him, he's going to be providing it for you. Okay. So the blessings are going to be good, because they're motivational. I mean, oh yeah, this stuff works. Oh yes, you know, I'm benefiting from that. I'm seeing things that are changing and are getting better in my life. And I'm growing in it. Okay, so that becomes an encouragement. This is the way God does that, tries to do that as much as possible. It's the same thing as when you educate children, when you raise your children up. You know, you're not just giving them instruction. When they do something right, good, well done. You know, and so reinforce what they have done so that they get appreciation for what that they were successful. Following me. But when they're not obedient, when they don't want to listen, when they want to go their way, then you're going to, you know, have to tighten up the screws a bit. Otherwise, they get spoiled. Okay? So, the Father does the same. But he does it perfectly. Because everything that he does is perfect. Okay? And we have to understand that. You know, when we listen, he just keeps us giving instruction, not to overwhelm us with works, with things, with things that we cannot do, is by developing a bit at a time so that we grow and we can do more and more. If we listen and if we obey. Okay, so when we listen and are obedient, we get blessed and we grow up. We get better, closer to him. Okay, but when we listeners are disobedient, no, I don't want to do that, you know, I want to stay here, I want to do whatever I want to do, then he has to correct us. And correct us can take many different forms, but the bottom line is we are not getting what we want. Or we get things that we don't want. Okay. And so as a result of that, you know, we may grow discouraged, we may grow disappointed. We may grow upset. We may even get mad at him. And that's really not a smart thing because he doesn't change. He's going to remain the same. And the harder you resist, and the stronger he's going to push. That just makes sense. That's the way life works in general. That's why one of the very important things when we raise up children says, you know, train them up in the way they should go, and they will, when they're grown up, they're going to be okay. But if you don't train them, they're not going to be okay because they have wrong expectations. Lots of kids today are entitled to things where they're going to be disappointed in life. Okay, so we have to learn to listen and to be obedient. And then we are going to get blessed and the going is going to be easy. But if we either don't listen and do our own thing, or, you know, when you don't listen, it's worse than, you know, even because we don't even know anymore what he's telling you. Okay? But when you listen and you need to be corrected because you don't obey, then hopefully you correct yourself and you start doing what he says because you're going to have a difficult time. But, you know, negative correction often doesn't work. We saw last week, you know, in many cases, and the children of Israel were corrected all the time when they were in the wilderness. Did it work? Not really. Why? Because they were stubborn, they were fleshy, they were ignorant about, they didn't discern, you know, the things I said before. Okay, the things, they were not approving the things that are excellent, pure, and blameless. And so they end up getting nowhere. You know, many didn't make it in the promised land. Okay. So, you see, God's last resort is to correct. It's not the way he starts. He starts with communicating, trying to communicate through you, through his word, to whatever. But if he doesn't get there, then he starts to have a correction taking place, because otherwise he cares that you may end up getting worse. You see, what happens if you don't listen, if you are not responding to the correction, you know, what happens is what happens in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, you know, it talks about he gives up them to their lusts. And that means that, you know, a process starts that is the opposite process of the training that the Lord wants to do for us. And actually is corruption. It gets worse and worse and worse. Because he's not getting anywhere with you. Are you following what I'm saying? But that's not his choice. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to just let us know and see that we are obedient children and follow what the daddy says. Makes life a lot easier. Okay? So, here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it gives us some instruction about that so that we understand a bit the process. Okay? We understand the condition, the situations, which are things that we need to do. So, going, for example, okay, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, says, therefore, okay, just making sure that this process continues, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. The hands are a representation of the works that we do. Okay, so when it says the hands, the, you know, hand down, imply that we are getting discouraged. Imply that we, you know, are feeling just, don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like, you know, that is an indication. You see, it shows the hands being down means that we don't feel like doing what we are told to do. So those feelings are important. Not to give in necessarily, but indicators of what's going on inside our heart and our spirit. So when our hands hang down and we don't feel like doing the things that we should be doing, there is a problem. Okay. And the other thing, and the knees, feeble knees. You know, when the feeble means, that means that, you know, we cannot walk the way God wants us to walk. Walking has to do with our behavior, our goals, the things that we are going to try to get. And when the knees are feeble in doing the things that God wants us to do, that means, you know, our goals are different than what God wants us to do. And there is going to be a conflict within us. And we are not going to be very, very able to do the things that God calls us to do. Okay? So, to strengthen it, how are you going to do this? To strengthen that. How are you going to make those changes happen? Well, the source of our, you know, those things are involved with the spiritual strength that we have. The spiritual strength that we have doesn't happen because we say, okay, I'm going to do it. Because you're going to fail. You cannot do spiritual things through your own physical strength. The only way that you'll be able to do that, John chapter 3, verse 6, what is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the spirit is spirit. So, the only way is that you have to make a spiritual connection with the Lord, and with spiritual connection with the Word. That means, you know, you go to the Word, you connect with God, you know, and, you know, you realize that you have to make some conscious decision in that direction. Okay. As you connect with Him, He's going to start, you know, listen better. Spend time connecting, going to the Word of God to try to get direction from it. Okay. generally what people go to the Word of God was to this, their pet scriptures, okay, the one that they really like. And they think that's going to give them strength. That probably is just going to be sugar. It doesn't give you strength. You know, maybe in a moment you make you feel good at the moment, but then you have a letdown. That's like having too much sugar. You have to take everything. Eat spinach and everything else and steaks and all the other things. And then you're going to have strength and they're going to be holding on together. And you can do physical things. You can be engaged in things. Otherwise, you're going to be slack. Okay, so here he's telling us, you know, really, okay, that we have to be careful about the way we feel about doing the things that God calls us to do before we are going to start just shutting down and not wanting to do them anymore. Because that's a bit late. And that's going to be much harder for us to recover. Okay, so we had to, you know, try to connect with the Lord, spend time in just with him, by yourself, with the Word, allowing the Word to minister to you. Possibly the things that you don't like to read are the things that you probably should be reading, because that's where the problem comes. All right? Those are the things that actually I'd rather do something else. Okay? So the idea is that we have to realize how our feelings, our the way we feel is important, okay, to determine when we have to make some decision, when we have to make some changes in our attitude, in our position, so that we can connect better. Then we can receive strength. You see, when we are well fed, we are going to be strong. When we only eat cakes, we are not going to be strong. We are going to be weak and, you know, possibly develop some diseases. It's the true same thing. You know, there is a parallel. Or truth is parallel. The physical things and the spiritual things are really similar because there are the same principles operating that God has established. And we have to understand that and be able to get smart, be able to act wisely, okay? So here we want to get strength. We want to be able to, you know, have a proper direction. You know, the need that are, you know, says there, feeble knee, okay? The fact that we, okay, have not proper direction, desire to do the right thing, proper goals. And so what we have to change there is our values need to be adjusted. And how do you get to adjust your value? Where you put your effort, your goals? You do that by, again, going to the Word, connecting with God, and getting direction, and making decision. Always boils down to decisions. Unless you decide and then you do, nothing happened. So it requires action. Okay? And here is that's why, you know, in chapter 12, verse 12, give us the direction on what kind of decision, what kind of direction we had to focus ourselves, you know, to be able to get out of a situation that is not going to be productive. Okay? Let's go to the following verse. Okay. It says, make straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So here is a straight path. Okay, the path, what is the way where we go? So, you know, we have to really learn to look where we are going to go. These are our goals, the things that we want to achieve, the things that we are focused on. Okay. and says, you know, make straight path. The straight path, you know, is something again. How do you determine that? Well, that has to do very much, you know, with your priorities, and you have to make decision about your priority. What is important for you to follow? You know, you can be so busy about so many different things that you end up accomplishing nothing and getting from one thing to another. You know, and getting tired and getting exhausted and getting nowhere. You have to go to the Lord. When you go to the Lord, probably he's going to tell, just slow down. Don't do so much. Do the things that are important, not the things that are not important. We get so caught up, so many things, with so many things that are completely secondary, that you end up leaving the good things, the things that are important, not done. So that's what, you know. Otherwise, you see, if the path is not straight, if there is all obstacle, all these things that you try to do that are really not helping you, that are just slowing you down, you know, you are going to end up kind of tripping on all the things that you are trying to do instead of helping you to move forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, his path of righteousness, you know, talks about it, you know, in Psalm 23, that, you know, again, connecting with him, you shepherd, okay? He guides you into this process and says, there, you know, he restored my soul, adjust the way you think, the way you adjust things. Not only that, but lead me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. So he is the one who will guide you. You know, sometimes you try to do things in the flesh. You try to do things according to your own ideas, your own values. You don't get anywhere unless you make that connection with the Lord. Probably you end up making the wrong decision because you are going to start pushing through. No, he's not pushing. He's responding to the Lord that is going to make the difference. You can see a lot of time people are really keen. They end up be messed up instead of getting solution. Okay? So it said, so that the lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Okay? The lame means, you know, that if somebody that when you are limping spiritually, when you don't feel the strength again, when you are really not knowing what you do, making, you know, as you walk, you stumble all the time. Well, the indication there is that your knees are very, very strong. You need to, you know, get some stability. And you get that stability through your established priorities according to his priority scale, not necessarily yours. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, rather be healed. That's what happens. The healing process there, okay, is really, you know, cure, restore to the state of the obedience and not condemnation of not sin, but walking in the right path. Hallelujah. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11, you know, says really, you know, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. And I have led you in the right path. See, that's what happens. As we connect with him, he's going to remove some of the things that are ineffective, that make you only waste your time, and guide you in the things that are going to make you progress, that you're going to give you victory, that you're going to enable you to be fulfilled and satisfied. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Okay, he is the one that gives us wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do in the situation you are in. Okay, so, you know, and you get that. He is all wise. He has all those things. He knows everything. And so by his knowledge and by his guidance, he's going to guide you to be able to make the right decisions. Hallelujah. Okay. His word help us in making the choices that we had to make. Okay. Now, this is concerning the stuff only that we have to consider, that we had to look at when as we and in our day-to-day walk. You know, we need some feedback. And the feedback is in our feelings. Okay? When our feelings, sometimes the feeling can be also deceiving. Because you are all happy because some things are going well, but are the wrong thing they're going well. Okay? So don't just go by that. But when, you know, you have problems emotionally in following God's direction, that's the indication. See, in that relationship, there is a problem. And we had to do something, and we better spend time in doing the things that actually I was mentioning, you know, connecting with him and getting direction, getting understanding, know the decision, know the stuff that we give value that is not valuable, and, you know, other things that we have to focus ourselves on. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then there are specific things that are actually things that we do. Practical things that we can look at. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, then, you know, things to do. Okay. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's pretty clear. That's pretty simple. Okay. I mean, put, you know, be at peace with everybody. That's pretty easy to identify. You know, if you are, in conflict all over the place around you, you are going to be depleted by all this stuff, and actually this is not going to help you at all in anything. So you have to find a place, get direction, understanding about how to have peace with others, to have the right attitude in your relationship, to be able to, you know, connect with people without creating problems. Okay? And holiness, you know, without which no one perceives. See, yeah, for the, you know, holiness says there, you know, without which no one will see the Lord. So you can see how holiness is important. And holiness is not a topic that is generally talked much about it. Okay. The thing is, what is holiness? Holiness is separation from worldly things. It's connecting with him and letting him, you know, guide you in the things you do. So that separation is important because, you know, if you could, you know, are involved or are in relating to in evil way to others in general, then you are not going to be able to be blessed by the Lord. Okay? If you are not at peace with other people, that means, you know, one of the things you have to watch for is the fact that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you are going to be in bondage. Unforgiveness with for any situation is going to be separating you from God. You know, Matthew has said very clearly, you know, forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you. And if you don't forgive others, your Father will not even forgive you. So, you know, unforgiveness separates us from God. You had to give, you know, and very easy this, very easy to recognize unforgiveness within you. And so anything that, this is something that we should always be careful so that we are not offended. And then we are unforgiving to our people when they do something that we don't like. We had to be praying for our enemies, not be offended by them. And that is going to set you free from their influence and enable you actually to have a relationship with God instead of being isolated, being separated from Him. Okay, that is probably one of the most difficult things sometimes the believers have to do. Because, oh, you don't know what they did to me. Well, God doesn't care what they did to you. Actually, He cares enough to be able to minister to you and heal the wounds that they have produced. But if you keep those wounds there open, then you're going to suffer, and you're going to continue to suffer because the things don't get resolved. You know, sometimes people, after 6 years, they're still, you know, resentful toward others. Resentfulness is something that actually produces very difficult problem between the relationship between you and God. And we are going to see that it's also expanded more, you know, not just for yourself, but for others too, we have to look after. But here, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, they're both to pursue peace and to be at peace with everybody is something that we have to make sure that is established inside us. So, now goes on and expand all this, not just to ourselves, but even around us. Okay, verse 15 says, looking carefully lest anyone, I mean, looking carefully lest anyone means, you know, that you are looking around other people and determine if there is these conditions there. Okay, says there, anyone fall short of the grace of God, or lest any root of bitterness springs up to cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So he's saying here that the people around you are, if they have this problem, if they have, you know, fall short of the grace of God. When did you fall short of the grace of God? You fall short of the grace of God when you are actually, okay, in apostasy, unbelief, rejecting the faith that you have because you are upset with God or you don't want to do the things that God wants you to do. And you distort reality. Okay? So, people like that are a problem. Okay? And people do have root of bitterness in them. That means, you know, that they have been offended, they are bitter, they are resentful, they are also a problem. Why? These people are a problem because because they are separated from God, they are not going to be able to hear God, they are not going to be able to do the things that they're called to do, and then that means they are stuck, and instead of progressing, they are going to be regressing. But not only that, here says, and by this many become defiled. So the idea is that they actually affect the people around them because of what's going on inside them. Are you following what I'm saying? So one has to be careful, even the environment in which we are, because the environment in which we are is going to influence and affect us. And we can do something about it. And we can, you know, try to address the situation in whatever way possible. You know, sometime, you know, especially leadership should do something about those situations. Praise the Lord. And then continue, other type of things that, you know, spread to other people. Verse 16, lest therefore be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Okay, so he's talking about people that and sinful lust. Okay, for you know that afterwards he wanted to inherit the blessing, and he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance through he thought it diligently in tear. So the idea is, you see, that these people are made by very difficult to break through. Okay? And they affect others to do the same things. And they should be addressed in a way that they are helped to either overcome or, you know, you have to protect the other people from them. All right. So, the following verse, actually, you know, quite a few verses after, because there was a long list of things there. Okay, we don't have the time to show them all. Okay, verse 28, Hebrew 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which can not be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So, you know, how do you have grace? Grace is something that we don't deserve. It's a gift from God. But there is only one way to get grace. Your God doesn't give gifts just without any reason. He gives grace to people that repent. That's the condition for God's grace to come down. If we don't repent, if we are unrepentant, if we want to go our way, there is no, God is not going to give us grace. As simple as that. Because he has some very clear demand according to which he functioned, according to which he operates. Repentance to receive his grace is, you know, grace, repentance doesn't give us the right to receive grace. It's not our right that we can claim. It's God give it to him out of his decision. We have to understand that. Say, oh, I repented and, you know, I feel guilty yet. Well, maybe you didn't repent well enough. Okay? I mean, the forgiveness comes when you meet the conditions. So we have to understand that just because you did something that you think is right doesn't mean it was right. Because we often are really confused about spiritual things. We don't know. Okay, so we had to see, okay, that we receive grace. Let us have grace by which we serve. You see, the grace of God enables us to serve him and to do the right thing. That's what the ability. You see, before I was talking about Esau that wanted to repent, but couldn't, and he was there stuck in his position. Here is the same. Okay, we are not going to be stuck in our position if we have grace, because God enables us to actually receive from him the things that he wants to give us. But he has to want to give them to us because we meet his condition. See, there is all the Bible, there is always a continuation of the law of sowing and reaping. If you do that, this is happening. The cause and effect situation in which describe very clearly the condition according to which he will function, he operate, he minister to us. Okay? Otherwise, we end up having beliefs that do not match the way he thinks. And we think that he has to do certain things when instead he knows exactly well what he's going to do. And he has described it clearly in his word. His word gives us all the direction that we need. We have to go to it humbly and receive it. And he is going to show us exactly what we can do to change our situation when we don't like our situation. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? These are really practical, okay, things. And then it goes on after that, you know, serve God acceptably with, you know, acceptably means, you know, that he accepts it, that he is going to be working. You know, for God, it's a consuming fire. You know, he is just burning. You know, his intention is to burn away all the flesh. so that we grow the way he wants us to be. Okay. Now, but as I said before, you know, that's the last option, the last thing for him. He wants to bless us to start with. He wants to do everything. And he gives us the direction on how to get blessed. Okay? For example, if we go, there are many places, you know, and there are plenty of places of blessing of God. But I want to go to, you know, a way that is basic. And if we understand it, it produces great results. It's in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Okay. There says, blessed is the man. You want to be, doesn't matter if a man and a woman, you know, you are going to be blessed if you do what it's saying here. Okay? And it says, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. See, that's the first condition. God has always conditioned to fulfill his promises. Okay, so the first condition that you are not walking in the counsel, you are not going to go and get people that are ungodly, you know, to tell you what to do and follow their direction. Okay, you are not standing with them, associating with them. And you say, well, you know, can't associate with too many people. Well, that's fine. You know, the point is don't get too close. Don't get too involved. Don't get in such a way that they're going to have an effect on you instead of you having an effect on them. Okay? Or sit in the seat of the scornful. You are there and you are just agreeing with them, doing around there. Okay? It says, but another thing, another position that shows the attitude. Okay? So don't associate with people that are going to affect you in a negative way, number one. Because you are going to be affected and you are going to be able, you know, find difficult to do the right thing. Okay. Second thing, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he did meditate day and night. Now, this is a second condition. Okay. The second condition has to do with attitude and focus. Okay, your attitude that you delight in the word of the Lord. You know, but delight in the word of the Lord doesn't mean that you pick up, cherry pick the scripture you like and you ignore the other. Delight in the word of the Lord, that means that you take the whole Bible and you like the whole package. Not tearing pages off so that you can are not going to bother you. You have to take the whole thing. Otherwise, you fool yourself because that's not the word of the Lord. That is the selection that you like and the other one you don't like it. So evidently, you are not delighting in all the word of the Lord. The place to be, he said, is for you to delight in everything there. Knowing that everything, no matter where you go, it gives you direction, it gives you instruction, it gives you an ability to be able to connect with him and to be in a good relationship with him and to go to what? Receive his blessings. So, second condition, delighting in all the word. You know, you meditate on it day and night. Doesn't mean that you are there, you know, like a guru and there and just meditating all the time. That's not what it means. Okay, you can use instead of the word there, you know, you can ponder it, you can think about it, you can, you know, reflect about it, you can do all those things. But, you know, the thing is, you don't necessarily need to do, you know, you can go take a walk and you think about what the word says. You can, you know, have a nap. And, you know, before you fall asleep, you just think about what the word says and you apply it to your life. See, that, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, you just commune with the word. That means you commune with God and he's going to, you know, operate in you through his word to give you the direction, to give you the understanding, to give you the things. Okay? He's not talking about doing Bible study even. Because you can do Bible study and forget, or you can come to church, go and listen and go out, and it's gone out of your mind. No, you go to the Word and you stay on the Word and you allow the Word to minister to you. Okay? So, minister to you what happens. Your heart has to delight in it. When you delight in it, you treasure it. When you delight it, you are just listening to it. You are going to receive it in your heart, and you are going to respond to it positively. Okay? And when your heart is aligned with God and with His Word, okay? Let me go step back. You know, the whole Word, not just the needs that you have or the wants that you have. The whole thing. Because otherwise, what you're doing is telling God, this is the important thing. And, you know, He knows exactly before you open your mouth what your need is. You had to, but to be able to hear what He's saying, you had to take everything that is there. So, well, you know, it's a big book. Don't worry. Just you spend time with Him, you'll find out the things that are going to be ministering to you and changing the way you think. Okay? Praise the Lord. And the result of that is, well, it says that He shall be the person that does those things and meet those two conditions, okay, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That seems to me a pretty good promise. But you know, to get that promise materialized in you, okay, the approach that you take to the Word, the approach that you take to connect with God is not connected to just your fleshy desire, it's connected to the whole intention, the whole counsel of God. And when you do that, you automatically have the blessing manifested in you. You see, this is the blessing that actually is pretty simple. It's not a difficult thing, okay? You have to basically do that, and you do that in the right way, not in a fleshy way, and you're going to get results because the Lord said so. Okay, you can expect that. You can expect that what you do is going to be good. Why? Because you're going to make the right decisions. Because you take the right steps. Because you're focusing the right thing. And He takes care of the other part. You see, that becomes the effortless result that He produces in us when we do the things He told us to do. Praise the Lord. Just in time. Are you following what I'm saying? This is not complicated, it's not difficult, it's basic. But, you know, if we understand that and we follow these principles, you know, there is the law of cause and effect or sowing and reaping that takes place, that automatically that what He said is going to happen is going to happen because He's faithful, because He's true, because what He said is always working, because He's mighty and powerful. And the thing is, when we start doing that, we start seeing that happening with small things and enables us to really be motivated and do even bigger things, and it keeps you, keep us growing, keep us changing, keep us wanting to have that relationship more than the other things. Amen? So let's just pray, okay? Let's just pray that we believe the Word. Don't believe me because I've been saying, I've been reading the Word. I'm saying nothing else than what is there. Don't like to tell my story. I'll tell you what the Lord says. And then you go and check it out, and you just go into, you know, review it, and start to assimilate it, and start to let it work inside your heart. And that is going to produce results. So let's pray together. Okay, but just, you know, just the prayer doesn't do anything. It's the follow-up that makes a difference. It's the expectation that is in us that makes a difference. It's the fact that we are, delighting in the word that produces a difference. That is an attitude that we have to develop. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that gives us a hope for a future and good time to come to us as we obey to you and respond to your direction and your guidance and your love. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and understanding that we need your help. And with your help, we can do everything that you want us to do. And we thank you right now in advance, expecting, Lord, to see your promises fulfilled. Because you are faithful and you are good and you love us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.